Hey, it's the Tim Anderson Podcast. There I am, the Tim Anderson Podcast. I'm Tim, and that is my buddy Zach on the other side of this screen. Zach, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
Good to be here, Tim. I'm excited. It's trade deadline day, so you know, one eye on the podcast here and another on Twitter as all these trades go through.
That's right. In fact, one big one right off the top. I mean, that was sort of the whole point of our Waxing on Wax show today, was hoping we'd come across some trade deadline guys and get into some of that. But a huge deal breaks right as the pod is starting. I think we should just take a couple minutes and at least touch on that. The Padres and the Nats have agreed in principle to make a deal for Juan Soto. Soto goes to San Diego, Josh Bell, and some others are heading off to Washington. This on the heels of them picking up Josh Hader yesterday. Big deal for the Padres.
Yeah, it's Soto and Bell to San Diego.
Oh, my mistake. Yeah, I read that wrong. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. it'll be interesting. The Padres are not going to catch the Giants here. I mean, the Dodgers. They're 12 back, you know, with what? 60 to go, so I don't think they're going to catch them, but it is going to be very interesting here to see you know, the postseason, right? Because they're going to get in, and that's going to be an exciting setup and a tough out for whoever they end up drawing.
Yeah,
come playoff time.
I kind of like what they have. You feel like when we saw them play the Twins this past weekend, and you kind of, you know, I'm not a big Machado guy. I know you're not a huge Machado guy either. But you throw him in the mix, you got this really nice young nucleus of players that can really, you know, hit the ball around, and they add threats all the way through the lineup, and then you add a Soto, it just feels like, and a Hader coming out of the bullpen that you can use in a lot of different spots. That Padres team, you're right, they're setting up for playoff runs, because now they can sprinkle Hader in anytime they want, whether it's in the early stages of the game or the later stages of the game, and do what the Brewers were doing with him.
And Tatis started taking batting practice yesterday again, so he'll be coming back from injury real soon.
That a forgotten piece there of Tatis. Yep. I mean, just imagine that situation. I mean, yeah, Hosmer at first base still gives you something. They're a nice little team. I really like that San Diego team. I hate those uniforms. Can I just say that? The city uniforms, the ones they just wore on Saturday.
Yes, the city ones were terrible.
Oh, my God. And, I mean, A.J. Pruszynski in the broadcast talked it up like it was like, oh, this is a top fiver. This is one of the best city jerseys. I'm like, oh, no. Those are awful. Those are
the brown and yellow is pretty sweet.
But the brown and yellow is nice. Very rarely does brown and yellow, like, excite you. But I must admit, I do enjoy the brown and yellow for the San Diego Padres. I think it's a good look. I like it.
All right. Well, before we open these here, you know, you did swerve me a little bit there when you were talking about the big trade before we came on the air. I thought you were referring to Jorge Lopez to the Twins.
Oh.
and don't get me wrong, it is a good piece. You know, we'll see what else they can do here. So
it's kind of a tough situation that they're in, because you do look around, you see the Yankees go get Frankie Montes and Andrew Benintendi, and they add some pieces to their roster and they get better. And you're already looking up and going, we're not better than the Yankees in their previous incarnation. We're definitely not better. How many trades could we possibly make to overtake the Yankees? And the answer is not enough. But you have to at least look like you're doing it, right? You got to at least look like you're trying to compete, right?
Yeah, I mean, I always say once you get into the playoffs, like, then anything can happen. And let's be realistic here. As a Twins fan, most of us would just like them to win a playoff game at this point. We'll take one,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's been 18 in a row. And I think the last time we were on, when we looked at it, the first round matchup was going to be the Mariners, who have not won a game in forever. Right, I mean, they haven't even been in the playoffs in like 18 years. So it would be the movable force meeting the stoppable object.
Yeah, something's got to give in that one. But at least the Mariners could say, well, we haven't been there to lose games. We've done our losing in the regular season, you know, so there's that. But I'm excited for it. Yeah, I mean, the Twins need to, we'll see what the Twins do as far as making other deals here at the deadline. It's clear they need like three pitchers, four pitchers. And probably another bat or two, especially with Sano lasting literally four ABs and back down to the IL. So that's not going to help their situation much. All right, we're opening up some fresh stuff here, yeah?
Yep. So some Topps Heritage. So it's the old school design with the current players. One's a 9-card pack and the other's a bigger, the 20-card pack. So we'll crack them open here and see what we get. Again, not a heavy insert set, but some cool looking cards nonetheless, and a fun set to build. So,
all right. So that these are the classic looks. Let's take a look and see what's here. We got Eugenio Suarez. I know one of your favorites. Oh, I like that Verlander, Justin Verlander.
Yeah, and you'll notice most of these two are not action shots because yep. they're shot in a similar vein.
Ooh, I like your Jordan Alvarez.
That's a nice one. We'll probably have to talk about him there.
Yep. And there's Asdrubal Cabrera, one of your favorite guys. I know that.
Yep. And I believe that's a short print there that was flipped backwards. So
Willy Adames. All right.
Should we start here with these Astros? We'll start with Jordan.
Let's start there. Jordan Alvarez and the cheating Astros. And Verlander, sure, while we have him there.
Right? Two for one.
Yes. I am of the belief that the Astros cheat, like everybody says, they should have taken that World Series away, all that. I'm not in the camp of that. I don't approve of the cheating and the sign stealing, but at the same time, that's been a part of the game for 1,000 years. They just found this new and kind of stupid way to do it. Absolutely should have been caught. There definitely was punishments given, but I think they went about as far as they could go with it. Where were you on that?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake was when the commissioner called the trophy a piece of metal, though that was the thing for me that was the worst, the most egregious offense of all.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
So Jordan Alvarez, I think he's one of the most underrated guys in the game right now.
I love watching him play. He's an awesome player.
He leads the league in on-base percentage and on-base plus slugging. He won the Rookie of the Year in 2019, hardly played in 2020, and then, last year, just kind of forgotten, and this year he did make the All-Star game, though, so, but he can hit. He can hit. And there's a lot of guys from that rookie class that were hyped, but he's the one who came away with the Rookie of the Year.
I thought there, in the playoffs last year, I just thought he had a lot of big hits. You just felt like every time a big hit had to be had, it seemed like he was the guy getting it. He's a guy that you don't want to pitch to. He's just such an intimidating presence from the left side. You just feel like you can't miss anywhere over the middle. And he's everything I wish Sano was. Like, that big hulking presence on the right side who doesn't miss the ball very often, who can put the ball in play and do things with power, but also hit for some average, I think, too. I think he could be a really solid, 290 hitter in his career if he really wanted to be, but clearly everybody's put the emphasis on slugging, but fun player to watch. I really like him.
Well, but Alvarez is still hitting. I mean, he is a career 295 hitter as of now. He's up over 300 again this year. Yep. I think that's the really exciting thing, right? He not only does he hit for power, but he's not striking out a ton. He's not, comparison to everyone else, right? Everyone strikes out nowadays, but he's not just an all or nothing kind of guy. He's got a bunch of doubles. He's hitting singles. He's getting on base.
Yeah, everything you want, and he sets up. And when you looked at when they lost Correa. And, it looked like that team was maybe going to step back. They've really looked at him. Obviously, they still have Altuve. They still have some of these guys. But they looked at Alvarez and said, if we're going to get back to the playoffs, it's going to be because this guy's a stud. And we can let Correa walk away for nothing because we've got somebody like this.
On the other hand here, Verlander, you would think he's heading towards the end of his career. But my God, has he been great this year.
And he's the last of the dying breed. Like, don't you feel like him and Scherzer are kind of it? Like, for guys that are just like, I'm pitching deep into the ball game. Don't worry about pitch counts. I'm throwing 7-8, and that's kind of it. Like, that's those guys. Verlander, I think, makes you feel that way. At least I feel that way when I watch him pitch.
Well, how many guys have Tommy John at 38? Right. I mean, he didn't really pitch in 2020, and then he had his Tommy John surgery, didn't pitch at all in 2021, and he's dominant this year. He's 14-3 you know, he's already up over 124 innings. His ERA is below two. Has he found the fountain of youth, or
I guess you could say it's good mechanics. I mean, every pitcher now is going to have Tommy. I mean, that's just going to happen. Everybody's going to have a Tommy John year. It feels like you're going to have to sit out, and that's just how this works. But he, I think part of it is like he's him and Scherzer are like true pitchers, not throwers, right? Like they still know how to like, you know, be efficient and, you know, not throw so much so soon. They don't have these high leverage innings. That's what's so fun about watching him. It's like you watch Chris Archer pitch for the Twins and it's like watching it's like watching some guy at the dentist. Like it's the most stressful thing you ever saw in your life. Like he looks like he's under siege the entire time. Verlander doesn't look like that ever. And neither does guys like Scherzer, right? They just pitch and they economize and they make it work. And it just feels so effortless. And that's Verlander. Right now it looks effortless for him.
Also, can we take a moment to appreciate Kate Upton?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
you want to talk about the fountain of youth. The fountain of youth might be Kate Upton.
Yeah.
As the dog comes in to agree on the Kate Upton shot. Had to have it. No, that's all right. We totally understand. We'll forgive you on that one. Yes, so Kate Upton's the fountain of youth. Maybe that's what we've realized.
For sure. Anyone else you wanted to touch on in here before we move on?
You know, nobody that really excites you, right? Like, there's some good players in there. Elvis Andrus is a good player. You know, I like Willy Adames, nice little young player. But yeah, I think that's a.
Elvis Andrus is kind of a guy who had his flash in the pan and then he disappeared for a while and. I kind of thought he would have a bigger career, I guess.
I kind of did too, you know, especially the way they brought him up, you know, in Texas, like, oh, this guy's going to be a stud defensive shortstop. He's going to be this, that, or the other thing. And yeah, it just never materialized. Like he's a good player, just nothing special, I don't think.
All right. Big fat pack here. So
big fat pack. All right. Let's take a look at what we got here. All right. So far, Kyle Farmer, not a lot there. Paul DeJong, Brandon Lowe, Brad Miller. Justin Turner, the beard.
Yep, I'm going to throw him on top.
Yep.
former twin Lamont Wade.
Yeah. Brandon Marsh with a heavy beard. Oh, my goodness. Alex Bregman, good player.
This could just be the whole Astros.
Could be the Astros convo back again. Johnny Bench in a flashback. Okay.
Yep. Homer's off of Carlton.
Ooh.
The baseball stars bubblegum Christian Yelich.
I like
that.
Kind of
cool. We got to talk about Yelich too.
Yelich is a good player to talk about for sure. There's Hosmer. Those Padres uniforms we were just talking about. There it is. Kevin Newman and Lance McCullers
Jr. All right. Let's start with Yelich.
Yelich.
And then we can move from there.
Do you find him overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
So he was amazing for a couple of years. And then he has really fallen off since that knee injury.
Yes.
But I feel like this year he sort of started to reinvent himself, if that makes sense. He's not the big power mashing guy that he was, right? I mean, he hit like, 35, 40 home runs for a couple of years there when he first went to Milwaukee.
Yeah, what were his MVP numbers? They were probably something right?
2018, he was the MVP, and 2019, I think he had an even better year, but didn't win it. But since then, right, he's kind of fallen off. But I do think he's reinvented himself here a little bit. You know, he's starting to hit more doubles. He's still fine in the outfield. He's not great, but he's good enough. But he's a guy who I really thought 5 years ago was on a superstar trajectory and has just not quite gotten there.
So you find him at this stage, like maybe he was properly rated and now he is maybe a tad over at this point. We don't view, yeah. Because he's not the superstar that he was, right? That he clearly looks like his prime might have been short-lived unless he can find a way to, like you say, reinvent, find a new way to make, you know, the thing that Mauer couldn't do, right? The thing that Like, Maurer, when he started getting hurt and he couldn't catch anymore, couldn't reinvent himself to become something else and became a lesser version of the player that he made him great, was an MVP. You feel the same track for Yelich here, unless he can flip it around and become something different.
Yeah, I mean, he's still solid, right? I mean, he hits leadoff most days now for the Brewers. I like him, but he's definitely, if you would have asked me 5 years ago and then told me this was his next 5 years, I'd have been like, or whatever, the last 3 or 4 years, I would have said, yeah, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Right. Like the 2018 and 19 years had him looking all world, and that contract now, you know, it could be argued is going to drag down Milwaukee a little bit because they're paying him $26 million a year and they're doing it through 2028.
26 might be a bargain when you start looking around and seeing what some of these guys are getting paid. But yeah, you're right.
I think 26 would be fine if he was a little more than what he's doing right now.
That's fair.
And also, I mean, right, we're still talking about Milwaukee, right? It's not a huge market. It's not ever going to be the place where they super overpay. Now, there was some rumor that they might take a shot at Soto because they had a few other contracts coming off the book, and they were really saying, you know, if they traded for him, they were not going to hold on to him. They were going to just let him go, but or trade him again in a year and a half or something. But, you know, the Brewers are an interesting case because I like what the Brewers do, right? They bide their time, but when they're good, they're not afraid to take a shot at it.
Yeah. The Yelich trade was just that. Like, when they went out and got Lorenzo Cain and, you know, Yelich, they made a move and said, we're going for it. We're going to try to win this thing. And, you know, they took their best shot. They got to the NLCS. Now Cain, you see they released Cain, I think they designated him for assignment a week or two ago, and it's like he fell off a cliff. Now they've traded Hader, which I actually am okay with. I'm always okay trading the middle reliever to get a bunch of stuff back. You know, I'm totally fine with it. And now the window's kind of closed. They have to retool. They got to do what all those small market teams do.
So just an interesting piece here on this Padres trade for Soto. Eric Hosmer is included in the deal, right? And we just pulled up Hosmer, so let's flip to him here quick because this is kind of big news. So Hosmer's in the deal.
That's incredible.
Hosmer has a no-trade clause and has not agreed to it yet.
Ooh.
So there's, you know, they're saying it sounds like they're going to get it done one way or another. It might take some money for him or something. But that just came across here that he is not.
How do you even offer up a guy who hasn't? Like, what are you doing? Like, you can't make a deal like that without, like, unless you've gone to him well in advance and said, I know you like being here and you're going to a loser. What are we going to do to get you to waive this thing?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some.
There's got to be a lot of money flying around or something.
That's my guess, that there's going to be money involved and that will get him on his way. But yeah, that's an interesting nugget for that deal.
Interesting that Washington would take Hosmer back in that money. Because I would think like you're trying to, not that Soto makes a lot right now, but you know you're not going to re-sign Soto. But I can't think you're going to hang on to Hosmer either if you're trying to rebuild, right? So, I mean, are you going to flip him around in the offseason? I mean, that seems like an interesting get in return.
Well, I would say there definitely is a possibility that Hosmer moves again before the end of the day.
Oh yeah. Right?
They could move him a second time, I would say. That would be on the table.
Dang it. Why is my phone? It's my wife.
You know, and he's not making that much.
There you go. Keep going. My wife was calling in. That's bad. That's bad radio. Right. Sorry about that. That's really bad radio.
I think the big amount of his money is done after this year, and he drops down to like $13 million a year next year. So that's not the end of the world. But I, you know, like you said, do they want a 34-year-old veteran at this point? I guess he's 32.
Yeah, he feels like he's been in the big leagues for like 20 years. I mean, you just feel like he's been there forever. He had all those years in Kansas City. And then, you know, you do feel like, I mean, but yet he's only like 33, 34. That's not old by today's baseball standards.
No, not at all. And but again, if you're not, I mean, they're not even close to contending with Soto. I'm sure they're fine not having Hosmer as well.
Yeah, Soto especially. Like, they offered him, and I think clearly when the Lynch there, we talked about this a few weeks ago, you and I think just texting, that when you offer a guy 15 years and $400 million and he says no, I mean, there's nothing more you can do. Like, you have to move on. Like, you have got to deal him out and get back what you can. And it was just that, because that's just a player saying, you can offer me all the money in the world and all the security in the world. I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to play in this city. I don't want to be in this organization. And I think you said it in your text. Like, I think, and I agree with you, there's clearly a lack of trust or a lack of belief that Soto has that the organization is really in a place to start winning. You know, you don't want to you don't want to do what Shohei Ohtani's doing right now, where you're just giving up really good years to be a really bad on a really bad team.
Yeah, that team is a mess, and I am fine with the Angels being a mess.
They had a chance to move Ohtani. They had a chance to move him, and they said no on that, which is probably a right move. But I mean, at the same time, what are you playing for here?
Right, and they're back in the same spot again where Trout is hurt.
Yep.
And now there's discussion about Trout's long-term health. And that's what I just don't get. Like, so there are many people who say that Trout is perhaps the best baseball player of all time.
Yeah.
And now I think Ohtani is picking up a lot of that speed just because of his versatility.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get two of the best players of all time and you're not even relevant, that's a problem. And we know it's a team game, but if you really are those guys and you're that good, like, something's got to happen there.
It is a team game. That is true. But when you've got two guys in the middle of your lineup that you can, that can just lose balls into the seats very quickly, it's not hard to build around them. At least it shouldn't be. You know, when you look at all the great teams that you and I grew up watching, 2-3 sluggers in the middle, a couple guys who can get on base, you win a bunch of games. Like, seems to work pretty well. You know, there's no reason they should be as bad as they are. There's just no reason for it if they're as good as they say they are.
Yeah, for sure. All right, you want to wrap up here with a quick Johnny Bench talk?
Yeah, let's do a little Johnny Bench. Little John Bench, as we like to say.
So my dad, who graduated in the 70s, was a big Reds fan, right? So I grew up learning about the Big Red Machine and hearing about Bench all the time. And he really is, you know, he's got to be a part of your discussion for best catchers of all time, correct?
100%. 100%. Especially that when you start thinking of, like, slugging catchers, there aren't many. Like, it's Piazza and I think, like, Bench, right? There's not many slugging catchers.
He led the league in home runs a couple times, and I think he won the MVP both those years, right? His two MVPs, he was the leader in home runs and RBIs. But he was also a very good defensive catcher, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, we're aware of Piazza's defensive deficiencies.
Yes.
But you don't talk about those things with Johnny Bench.
No, you don't. And subsequently, like, Pudge, like, maybe Rodriguez and Fisk might have been as good or better defensively, but I don't think they touch Bench offensively. Like, I mean, Rodriguez might. I think Pudge was a really good player. Both Pudges, but I think Rodriguez was a really good player. But yeah, I mean, Bench was you could put Bench in the middle of the lineup. You couldn't put Rodriguez there.
Yeah, I think, you know, Rodriguez is up there for sure in my top, you know, my top tier of catchers. But
yeah.
And let's, you know, those Reds teams were pretty amazing, right? I mean, they won World Series. They were in it seemed like every year, right? I mean, they were there, what, in 70, 72, 75, 76. And they won, you know, I think two of those, right? Two out of four. But they came with, I mean, how many guys off those teams can you name, right? Here we are. Those teams were 10 years before we were born.
Yep.
We're talking about them, you know, nearly 40 years after we were born. So, I mean, these are guys from 50 years ago. When you talk about Joe Morgan, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, you know.
Tony Perez.
Yeah, Perez is on the card there with him. You know, I mean, that was really some astounding teams, right? And all those guys that we just mentioned, right?
And we're all not a prolific pitching staff either. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't name three Reds pitchers.
What I was just about to say is they were that good without the dominant pitching, right? You know, I mean, I remember Gary Nolan, just because I've used him in some of our throwback fantasy baseball games and stuff. But the reality is, like, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been able to name him.
Right.
Right. But that team won all those world, or won two, went to four. And the reality is, we don't know any of their pitching staff.
Yeah. Like, you know, you can recall one to two guys off most of these other teams. Like, you know, the Orioles had, you know, those great starters with Palmer and McNally and all those guys. And you know, the Pirates, when they won, had Blyleven and Tecolvi and some of these guys, whatever. And you know that they had, you know, that the Mets had Seaver in the late 60s and all the great Dodger teams. And then when you think of great teams, like, you can always name pitchers, and then you get to the Reds and that's it. Like, you can't name anybody. And you're right. And they just kept reloading, right? Because it wasn't long after, like, some of those guys leave, they bring in Dave Parker for the later stages of the run. They get, you know, like Concepcion. I mean, it's like they just felt like they, and Sparky Anderson, who's this genius manager, you know, never gets the full credit, I think, for being as great as he was. But, like, he was an elite manager in the 70s, who still looked like he was 75 and he was 35.
Correct. Well, as we wrap up here, you know, looks like the Hosmer stuff is going to go on here for a little bit.
Ooh,
I'm sure we'll have a resolution soon, but it keeps gaining steam here. How about the Nationals, though? Harper, Rendon, Scherzer, Trey Turner, Soto, all gone here over the last 2 to 3 years.
But they got their title. You know, they do have that, so they can hang on that. I don't think they were wrong on most of these. Rendon hasn't been anything for the Angels. They weren't wrong on Bryce Harper. Like, no. I don't think so. I don't think Bryce Harper's been anything in Philadelphia.
I mean, if you still had Harper and Soto together in that lineup, though, that's pretty...
Sure.
Two great left-handed bats. Yeah. Obviously, Scherzer is still pretty good.
Yeah, he's still pretty good.
Right, the reality was they couldn't pay all of those guys. But I think the counter to that is they could have paid one or two of them.
Yes. Maybe that was it. They didn't earmark the guys that they needed to pay. Like, they paid Strasburg, which to me feels like he was probably the last guy I would have paid. Well, Rendon would have probably been the last guy I would have paid. But Strasburg would have probably been the second. Harper, it never felt right to pay Harper the money that Harper was asking. And in hindsight, that proves right. But you're right. You got to have people. You can't just let these guys just walk. They let Rendon walk for nothing. They let Harper walk for nothing. And you can't. Right. You just can't have it. You got to get value back for some of these guys. And that's why.
I'd love to sit and talk Harper sometime, because I remember when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at, what was he, 17 at the time, 18?
Yep.
Remember, he skipped his senior year of high school and graduated with his GED so he could enroll at one of those community colleges, that, you know, just a baseball factory, and then enter the draft after that. So he's a great study too. I mean, it's a story that we grew up with as well, right? Because he was around our age too, right? I mean,
he's been in our conscience, you know, for quite a while. You're right, because now we're getting older, but he's such a young, you know, you feel like he's been playing pro ball for forever.
He's been in the league for 10 years now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Harper is an interesting study. I'd love to go through some of those guys that look like can't miss dudes. And Harper, you could say, has been, I'd call him a successful career so far. But like, you look at like a Matt Harvey around the same time, and you're like, that guy's gone, you know. And you know, he was a highfalutin pick. And you just go right down the list, Mark Pryor, etc. There's so many of these guys that were can't miss that, you know, they didn't work out for whatever reason.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're
we did it. We made it.
We did it. We made it through another. We've been pretty baseball centric here on the first couple episodes, but I think we're going to step out of that next time. I think we have a plan too.
Oh yeah, I already talked to a friend of mine who can't wait for the wrestling card pods whenever we start getting to that, because he's trying to finish a set and he's willing to see what comes up out of that. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
Gotcha. We
will be watching it closely.
Yeah, we're also working on a couple of giveaways possibly here for our next couple episodes. So exciting stuff coming up on the show.
So we need you to share it out on the YouTube link. Obviously, you can always share it out on Podbean, where you can always listen to the podcast there. But share it out on YouTube, like it, subscribe to it. We need to get the subscribers up. We need to get the views up, all of that jazz. So please go ahead and do that, and we would be grateful. So thank you for watching on Waxing on Wax, and thank you for listening as always. This is Zach and Tim. And we are going to check out for now. So keep your head up, and we'll see you next time. All right, we got it in, and it didn't see any lagging on the screen.
Big Dolphins news.
Oh.